You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, when we get there in a moment to Judges chapter 1, you'll see the big difference. After the death of Joshua, the people of Israel ask of God. God was not speaking to anybody else anymore, but they were asking from God. And God responds. And the question is, how did God respond to them, since God was not speaking to them? We'll discover that in a moment. In the first and second service, I posed that question. Well, in the first service, I asked, how many knew this? And only like four people said, how many did not know this? And four people, same people raised their hands. So I told them, please, this is a Bible study. The Bible says that we are disciples of Jesus. The word disciple is a Greek word. In fact, in Spanish, at least in Mexico, if you're a student, they will call you discípulos. Is that correct? Discípulos. So we're disciples of Jesus. So we're here to learn. And by the way, I've learned a new word. It has to do with my sickness. I'm not sick. I don't even know what I have. But I have, as the doctor said, you have rhinorrhea. How many know what rhinorrhea is? Wow, dude, Calstel LA material. Absolutely, he just went like this. That's exactly what it is. Rhinorrhea is a runny nose. I didn't know that. I know what rhinoplasty is, but don't tell anybody. But rhinorrhea. Now, I'm learning. And it's my desire for you to learn. Because in the book of Judges, there's a vacuum of leadership. And anytime there's a vacuum of leadership, if the people do not act upon that leadership, there's going to be a moral breakdown. And that's what you see in the book of Judges. So I've entitled this message, When Heroes and Great Leaders Die. Now, go with me to chapter 4, chapter 24 of Joshua. In chapter 24, Joshua is dying. So he shares with them the last things to encourage the people of God. There in chapter 24, verse 14, he tells them, now therefore, fear the Lord. Number one, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people respond, oh no, we are going to serve the Lord. And Joshua says, then great, then put away your little gods that you have. Put them away and serve the Lord. And he made them sign, or not sign, but make a pledge. That they made a covenant that they would not serve other gods. They would not bow the knee to other gods. That they would not offer anything to other gods. And worse, not only do you not serve their gods, he says, but don't give your daughters to the Canaanite sons, nor do not let the Canaanite sons marry your daughters. That was not racial separation. It was a spiritual thing. Like Paul the Apostle, I left with that when we were reading that particular chapter. Paul the Apostle says the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He tells the Christian, he says, well, do not be unequally yoked with a what? An unbeliever. Not a different race, not a different ethnicity. Another, an unbeliever. And then he says, what does light have to do with darkness? What does God have to do with demons? And so what does light have to do with darkness? So he pleads. He goes, come out from among them. You'll be my children and I will be your God. So this is the same thing. They're coming to the end. And then Joshua dies. Now, there are 9 biblical eras. This will help you as a student. Very simple. There's 9 biblical eras in the Old Testament. From Genesis all the way to Malachi. All the way. So the first era, and every era is typified by a protagonist. So the first era is creation. And that would be Adam. The second era will be the patriarch era, and that will be Abraham. Then the third, Exodus, that will be who? Moses, right? And then Judges. So we're in the fourth era now. And we're going to meet one of the judges. There's 13 of them. But Samson is the one that takes the cake. You will see this Samson as you read the Bible yourself. When you look biblically at Samson, because we have pictures of Samson, Google it, Samson, and he's always has long hair, and he has straight teeth, and he's built, buffed. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Samson looks like me after he was shaved. He had strength, but it was God-given strength. But I also want you to know, I can't say, I said that word in the second service. There's another word. I think I said the word, and I said now. There's a French word called maniaco. And that's what Samson was. He was he pursued prostitutes. He loved prostitutes. And you see that God chose different kinds of people. God chose them. They were anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so you'll meet Samson as we come to the close. But also the other era will be the kingdom age. That's when Israel became a kingdom. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. And that will be David. And then the Babylonians came and took all the Jewish people and they went to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And they went into the exile. And the protagonist is Nehemiah. And then they came back to the Holy Land. And that is the era of the return number 8. And is given to Ezra the priest. And finally, the era of silence. 400 years between the Old Testament, which is the book of Malachi. For 400 years, God did not speak to anyone. There was no prophet. There was no prophetess, there was no apparition, there was no voice for 400 years. So we're now in the book of Judges. Now, turn to the book of Nick. We're actually one page over, really. If you're in Joshua 24, just turn your page and you're there in the book of Judges. Now, as I shared with you, Joshua 1:1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. But you notice in verse 1 of the book of Judges, Judges 1:1 says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord. And we read verse 1, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, question, who shall first go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? See, after Moses died, the fighting kept going. You remember when God told Joshua, you're old, man. You are stricken old. That's what God said. You're stricken in age. He said, but there's still a lot of land to conquer. So when Joshua died, there was still land to be conquered. There were those tribes that gave up, and they did not expulse their enemy. So now there's no leadership. So the tribes are all asking, and God responds. Notice in verse 2, and the Lord said, Judah, That's the tribe, not the person. Judah shall go up. And notice the assurance, indeed, I, God, have delivered the land into his hand. How did God speak to the people of God? Well, in the beginning, in the desert, when they built the tabernacle for God, God spoke to Joshua face to face. Remember that? Face to face. But when he wanted to speak to someone else, it was a way of different language. Now, according to Exodus 28, God made Moses make, some believe they're stones, a black stone and a white stone. The white stone had in Hebrew, yes, and a black stone, they had Hebrew, no. So it was a way of asking God, and God would say yes or no. So this is beautiful because the word Urim means light, and the word Truman means perfection or the truth with a capital T. Exodus 28:30 says, and you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. So when they ask the priests, who is going to attack the Canaanites? And the Lord selected one tribe, Judah. And he gave him a promise, I'm with you. Just like he was with Joshua, I'm with you. He tells him from the get-go in verse 2, indeed, without a question, I, Jehovah God, have delivered the land into his hand. So there you see the beginning. Now, the theme of Judges. Now you may say, Pancho, you're not going to have enough time. I know. Lord willing, we'll follow it up. I'm not going to be in a hurry. You have to understand this. What is the theme? The book of Judges presents the story of the individual tribes that became Israel from the death of Joshua to the birth of Samuel the prophet. The book of Judges covers about 330 years of Israel history and is a tragic account of how Yahweh God was taken for granted by his children year after year, century by century. As God will raise up the judge, there will be a spiritual revival. During the times of spiritual decline, the nation of Israel will go into captivity. During the time of spiritual revival, God will give them victory over their enemies. The theme of Judges is a downward spiral of Israel's national, society, and spiritual life into chaos and rebelling against God, showing a need for a godly king. What happened? Well, I show you. In chapter 1, it was an impartial conquest. Most of the tribes were not able or did not want to expel the enemies. So what happened? They're living within the enemy. Now, you know and I know that Jesus separates two kinds of people, correct? He who believes and non-believer. Sure, there's some people in the middle, but those are post-COVID people that no longer are going to church. That's true. They live in misery. They're trying to be in the world, but they cannot be in the world. They have Jesus inside of them. They cannot cuss good. They cannot smoke good. They cannot drink good because they have Jesus inside. They may hang around with people with no teeth. They may go and smoke weed with people, but then they're not the same. I have that feeling. I remember that. I walked away from Christ for around 3 days, 2 days. That's all it took. I said, forget Christianity. Boom, we got me a joint, several joints, and I went to the Ice House in Pasadena, right? It was a comedy hour. And I sit there just not laughing at all at their stupid jokes. And like Peggy Lee, I said, is this all there is? If this is all it is, and then friends, let me kick off my shoes and drink the night away if this is all there is. I went back to my apartment, and I did it while Millie was in a choir retreat. And when she came down from the choir retreat on Sunday afternoon, She came in floating, thinking, oh, praise the Lord. He was so beautiful. How was your day? I was in hell. And I told her, I confessed to her, I can't be a heathen anymore. I don't know how to act. I cannot smoke a joint like I used to. I can't do that no more. I can't cuss anymore. It was a miserable life for 2 days. And yet people live like that every single day, knowing that they have Jesus in their heart, and they're trying to be with the Canaanites. You understand what I'm saying? And this is the problem here. They were living among the Canaanites, and instead of influencing the Canaanites and all the other ites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the mighty mites, the Cellulites, and all the Arasites, all of them, their number into the Canaanites. And so the Canaanites were influencing them. And this is the problem. The problem here, when you come, we may not cover it, but there, look at chapter 2. Notice what happens here. We are reminded of Joshua's death, but what took place after that? In chapter 2, verse 7, it says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. In all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So from verses 8 to 9, they buried Joshua. Now notice how graphically verse 10 comes out. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, translation, when they died, that generation died. Another generation arose after them. Number one, this generation did not know the Lord. Number two, nor the work which he had done for Israel. A generation, a new generation. Now, I speak to a lot of people here because we, like me, we raise our children in the ways of the Lord. But the culture, hormones, drugs, alcohol, bad company, bad decisions, it disrupted a lot of our kids. The attractions of the world. And as you warn them, be careful, be careful. We have 4 girls, 1 boy. We tell the girls, be careful, be careful, be careful. And somewhere along the line, they will get their broken heart. Somewhere along the line, they will get their heart broken. Life. And pretty soon, your children are no longer believing like you and I believe. And it's a tragedy to watch children that we raise. It's worse. We didn't put our children to parochial school or private school, but think of the terror and the horrible result when you send your children. You work hard to send them to Christian school, and they're not even walking with Christ anymore. That's a generation. And that generation, we are told in the next verse, in verse 11, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And what did they do? They served the foreign gods of the Canaanites, 2 of them, Baal and Asherah. And they did everything that their parents said, we will never do, and they begin to do it. Now, there are 13 judges. The ones that are italicized and underlined, those what they call minor judges. Othniel, he will be the first judge. We met Othniel. He married Caleb's sister, Caleb's daughter. Caleb said, hey, whoever takes this city, I'll give him my daughter. And Othniel must have said, she's hot, I'll go fight for it. So they're cousins, by the way, because both Caleb and Othniel's father, they're brothers. So they're cousins, and they marry each other. And he will be the first judge. Then you have Ehud. Then you have Shamgar. Nothing happened with Shamgar. Then we find Deborah. Deborah, ladies, Deborah, Lord have mercy. Deborah says, okay, I'm a woman. Barak, you take care of it. And Barak says something like, I can't. I'm from West Hollywood. I can't do that. Something to that effect. And Deborah is the one that takes over. And 2 women are given the credit for killing their oppressors at that time. And then you have Gideon, of course, Gideon. And then you have a minor prophet by the name of Tola. and then Jair. But then Jephthah comes in, left-handed man. You know, the exploits of these people, man, fantastic. And then you have Ibzan, then you have Elon. You would have never heard of Elon if it wasn't for Elon Musk. But there you find it. He is a judge. Then you have Abdon. And finally, you have Samson. And so there were two other judges, Eli and Samuel, but they're featured in 1 Samuel. So you have 13 judges. A judge is called a Shaphat. It's not a judge with a robe and a gavel. Please take that out of your mind. These are common people like you and I, weird people. But God chose them at the right place at the right time to deliver the people under their suffering because of their own sin. There were civil magistrates. These men and a woman were spirit-empowered men and women, raised up of God and empowered by him to meet Israel's specific crisis. The judges exercised authority under God in both military and civil matters, rendering legal decisions when God called upon them to do it. I thought in my own mind, man, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had judges sent from God? That they would be mindful of the things of God. They'll take over the military, takes over the government teaching, takes over everything, all in the name of righteousness and justice. Oh, that would be something to think about. But that's all we can get, just think and wish. These 13 different judges God raised up in a different time of horrific spiritual decline. Chuck Smith calls it the yo-yo experience. What is the yo-yo experience? What happened is that as soon as they got affiliated with the Canaanites, think of the Canaanites like unbelievers. How many here work in a non-believing environment? You work in a non-Christian environment. So all the rest of you work in a Christian environment? Lord, you guys are good people. I just don't think you want to raise your hand. But for those of you brave to raise your hand, you work in a non-Christian environment. For 8 hours a day, maybe 40 hours a week, think about it. If you are not guarded, you're going to be influenced by their attitude, by the behavior. You know, well, you know what? I live with dogs. I'm going to act like a dog. And this is the problem. You go beneath them like they do. And I worked for the county of L.A. for 16 years. The last place I was at, I would work at a warehouse. And the gutter talk in that warehouse, the profanity, the crassness, the jokes, and how some of the guys were hitting on prostitutes. I won't go any further. But I got proof. When I became a Christian, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't, not that I was prostitutes. No. I just couldn't hang around them. I couldn't understand. See, God inspired me to love my wife, to respect my wife, to honor my wife, not to talk trash about my wife. See, I want you to know one thing about my wife. My wife runs the house. My wife runs me. Do you understand that? But never in public will she deride me or make it look like she's in charge. She always defers to me publicly, because that's what God wants. Give your husband honor. Don't belittle him in front of people. But between you and I, Millie says, Punch, yes? What do you want? What do you need? You know, if you go to the kitchen, can you give me some ice water? Translation, go get me water with ice. 51 years, I'm okay with it. I go get the water, and oh, how did you know I wanted that? All this to say to you is I lost my train of thought. Oh, yes. So I was working in the county, and there was a guy named James. It's a real, not a fictitious name. I don't know if he ever finds out. I don't think he will, because he was a heathen. But James had a mouth. And they will tell James at the dock, hey, man, yellow freight's here, and you got to get that. You got to pull that truck out. And he goes, what the hell? Oh, hell no. He said it so much that the inculcation came upon me. Those are words on our mind. But one time we had an argument. Not an argument, just a verbal. It was a fight. we were arguing. I don't say words like that. I go, what the hell? Shut up, man. And that's all it took. Because she said, who are you? I said, wow, I don't know. And all I'm saying to you, that when you start hanging around people, they begin to influence the way you talk, the way you think. And then if you start saying things about, you know, the Lord spoke to me, they'll shut you up, they'll cancel you. They'll just put you away. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about their Bible study. They don't want to hear about the Bible. They don't want to hear nothing. And that's just the way it is, the influence. So the Canaanites were influencing the people. So the people forsook the Lord of their fathers. They follow other gods from among the gods of their heathen neighbors who were all around them. They provoked Yahweh to anger. They forsook the Lord, and they bow and they serve Baal and the Ashtaroths. And inasmuch as there were 13 judges, you will see the fickleness of God's people. 13 declines, 13 revivals. 13 periods of captivity, 13 periods of being delivered from the oppression of the enemy. So in chapter 1, mission not accomplished. What was the mission? The mission was go, annihilate, and destroy, and expulse all your enemies out of the land. But the Bible tells in chapter 1 that most of the tribes were not able, nor they didn't want to expel the Canaanites. So the children of God, though they were overcomers, they were still subservient to the things of the Canaanites, to the point where they did what they said they would not do. They begin to worship their gods. They begin to serve their gods. They begin to participate with the sensual gods. And then the Bible says, and they took their children, the Canaanites, to marry their daughters. And they gave their daughters, children of God, they gave their daughters to marry the heathen. And that's when God said, oh no, this is not right. So God turned them over. Now, Chuck Smith calls it the yo-yo syndrome. You go up and down. We say yo-yo when you go on a diet. You go, I gain and I lose, I gain and I lose. You heard that? Well, there's an English word, two English words, and they're relegated to garden for things in the garden. The word oscillator. What's an oscillator? An oscillator is an irrigational tool that goes like this, right? That's an oscillator. But what's a vacillator? A vacillator is one that does the same thing, but it goes, da, 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 and it stops. It comes back again. Da, 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 da. And we say that's a vacillating. Now, if you speak Spanish, when a goofy person is messing with us, and we say to the goofy person, stop, man, no estés vacilando. For those who don't speak Spanish, forgive me. We use the same word, vacillating, for someone who's fickle. And this is what happened to the children of Israel. They loved God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And they look back and you go, hi, Shaka Khan. She's hot. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What's that? Weed? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah, yes, just a hit. Just a hit. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And pretty soon you go, what the hell? Here you go. And then you think everything's fine, but it's not. The world will eat you up. The world will stab you in the back. And then you had enough. And then when God sees you over here crying, oh, God, help me. The Bible said that God hears the cry. Because he made a promise to the parents of this child. God will set up a judge to bring him back from their stupidity and bring him back. It'll be a revival. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But here's the problem. The moment that judge died, Shaka Khan time again. What does Shaka Khan mean? I'm so sorry. What is Shaka Khan? I don't know. Before I became a Christian, I thought, man, that's going to be my wife, man. That's, it's the way she sings with Rufus. So forgive me. Too much information. That was before Jesus, okay? So I got my vanilla fudge with me. So it's all right. So in chapter 1, we have 4 movements. Okay. Again, we might not be able to get it. It's okay. We want to have communion. But there are 4 movements in chapter 1. Verses 1 through 8, the battles and conquests of Judas and Simeon's strife. God chose Judah. Judah should have never asked Simeon, but they asked questions. I mean, he invited him to come in. God said, get Judah. And Judah, I got you covered. I will give the enemy into your hand. It's covered. But he asked the other minor tribe. And then in verses 9 through 15, you got divine justice, or we call it poetic justice. What goes around, comes around. That's a lesson to a king by the name of Adonai Bezek. You'll see that in a moment. The third movement, verses 16 to 21, these are the inhabitants of the Canaanite cities. These are Jewish people of God who are living in the cities, but they are dominated by the Canaanite culture. And thank you, John Paul. John Paul just told me my secret was open. And none of you here in the front, or maybe you just cold shot. Embarrassing. John Paul, I love you. Thank you so much. I don't know about these Christians here. Canaanites. Wow. Dude. Steve, you saw that too, right? Oh, come on. Help me out. Listen, I went to an interview one time, and I had a huge nasal filter on me, enough to stop breathing in one nostril, but I had not noticed it. I noticed it after the interview I went. And I noticed in the mirror that every time I would take a breath, that moco would go like, and I'm thinking, and I did a 35-minute interview at a food services environment? So what kind of job do you want to give me? And it took a paisa lady cleaning. She goes, hey, tiene un moco aquí. Oh, really? And I didn't want to go there. Oh, really? That's a stupid thing to do, right? Hey, you got a moco there. Oh, yeah, well, right here. Okay. You don't want to do that. You want to act hygienic. Oh. Then when nobody's watching, you go, oh, dude. Anyway, we're family, man. Let me know. Thank you, John Paul. I was thinking, man, it's too cold in here. Now I know. Lord, have mercy. Wow. Well, let's go to the movements again. The first movement, 1 through 8. The second movement, 9 through 15. The third movement, 16 to 21. The inhabitants of the Canaanite cities. And lastly, the unsuccessful conquest. But before I lose you, when you read all 21 chapters, you will ask yourself, why are these people like this? Are they dysfunctional? And the answer is yes. Turn to the last chapter. Judges chapter 21. The last chapter, the last verse. The last chapter, chapter 21 of Judges, verse 25. Here you find the problem. The last chapter, right before Ruth. And by the way, the book of Ruth, it happens when the judges were taking place. That's what gives us a good idea of the timing. But there in verse 25, the last chapter of the book of Judges, we read this. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. What does that mean? Everybody was doing what is right in their own eyes. Well, I'm from the granola bar state, California. Now, you know what the granola bar? Fruits, nuts, and flakes. So I'm from California, And in California, I'm being told there's 51 genders. They got pronouns. You got to be careful how you talk today in the world, especially in the hospital. You can't say doctors or so. And you got to say, do you have any pronouns? That sounds dumb, but it's safe. Are there pronouns? And some people tell you, no, my name is Joe Pelota. My name is Nancy. Fine. But there are others who say, yes, I'm a him. And I go, okay, him. And they're not him, if you know what I mean. But this is the influence of the Canaanites. So you got to respect it. They're Americans. They're human beings. You respect them. And all this to say to you that here people are doing what was right in their own eyes. So you may say, you know, I am what I am because that's my truth. But it's not God's truth. So you're doing your own thing. Even though biological, they tell you this is what you are. If they tell you historically, physiologically, hormonally, they tell you this is, you're lactating, so you're, but they said, nope, this is my truth. So this is the nature of the book of Judges. There were children that were doing their own thing according to their own eyes, not God's eyes, according to their situation. So chapter 1, we'll go real fast. Verses 1 through 8, the battles of Judah. So the Lord told him that I will deliver the land into your hand. So Judah said to Simon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. So the fighting's still going on for the territory. The fact that 10,000 men, they died in this city, in this kingdom, that's a big place. So they killed 10,000 men, verse 5. And they found Adoni-Bezek, which means the Lord of Justice. That's a title. That's not his name. It's almost like Pharaoh or the Shah. It's a title. So, and they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek. And fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Verse 6. Then Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued him. And once they caught him, they cut off his thumbs and big toes. This is a cruel, cruel, deplorable practice. But in the ancient world, you will do that not only to humiliate, but to make sure they don't grab a weapon anymore. Make sure they're ineffective when they want to run. They're no longer militarized, and you humiliate them. Now, here the conscience of Adoni-Bezek speaks. He says this in verse 7, and Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, they used to gather scraps under my table. Notice what he says. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Friends, there's a principle, spiritual law. And people always make this law really, really ominous. You know, whatever you sow, thou shalt reap. But yeah, the principle also goes if you sow good seeds. If you sow seeds of generosity, guess what you're going to reap? Generosity. If you put seeds on people's friendship, guess what you're going to reap? Friendship. So you're going to sow what you reap. You're going to reap what you sow. Forgive me. So, but the Bible says, do not be deceived, for whatever a man sows, if he sows to the flesh, he will reap to his flesh. You don't do anything and you expect nothing to happen. Your activity will manifest itself just like any kind of fruit or any kind of harvest. When you do something in the principles of God, God's going to come back. And what goes around comes around. So this king said, I had 70 men. And what he would do, he would get the kings and capture them, take their toe and take their big toe, take their thumb and the big toe, 70 of them. And they were humiliated like dogs to be under his table so they can serve him. And now he says, now I am one of them. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Verse 8. Now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem. This is before it became a Jewish place. They fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword, and they set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwell in the mountains, in the south, and in the lowland. Then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwell in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba. And they killed Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there they went against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was formerly Kirjath Sefer. Then Caleb said, "Whoever attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it to him, I will give my daughter Ashan as wife." Now, we read that in the book of Joshua, chapter 15. And all he does is he gives his property, whoever attacks, and they get married to the daughter. And then the daughter asks for Caleb for some from some land with springs. So we don't want to reread that again. So verse 16. Now the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law. Now who are these people? These people are not Jewish, but they have been integrated into the Jewish community. And just like the Gibeonites, remember, the Gibeonites faked it, and they made an oath to Joshua, and now they're living among the Jewish population. So as they're living in this population, the Bible says that he went up from the city of palms and the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Arad. And they went and they dwelt among the people. Verse 17, and Judah went in with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Sephah and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah, and Judah took Gaza with its territories, Ashkelon and its territories, and Ekron with its territory. Verse 19, so the Lord was with Judah, amen. And they drove out the mountaineers, amen. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, oh man, because they had chariots of iron. There is the beginning. And they gave Hebron to Caleb as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there three sons of Anak, the giant. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. There you see the infiltration. There you see. Now, the rest of the chapter, you will see that most of the tribes were not able to kick the enemies out. They just couldn't do it. It was terrible. When we get to chapter 19, and if you want to get ahead of it and read it, you will see the depravity of the children of Benjamin. These are Jewish people. But by the time they get ingrained with the Canaanites, when they begin to worship their sensual gods, they all become switch hitters. Literally. They want to rape men. And there are children here, forgive me. They get twisted. And what happened? Again, the inculcation, the madness. You can check it out on your own. But make sure you can go to sleep. Because this is terrible what you see here. How can the children of God, one tribe of Benjamin, will go abnormal? They can do what they want to do. So you'll see when we get to chapter 19. And when we get to chapter 19, the week before, I would notify parents that if you cannot bring children to that. Because it's very graphic sexually, very graphic. And so I want to make sure that the kids that are here will not entertain those things. And we're trying to clean it up. But it is what it is. It's horrible. So they were not able. Now notice verse 27. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shan. And at the bottom of verse 27 says, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Nor did Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, drive out the Canaanites who dwell in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwell in Gezer among them. Neither the Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, so the Canaanites dwell among them and were put under tribute. Verse 31. Not even Asher, the tribe of Asher, drove out the inhabitants of Aco or the inhabitants of Sidon. Verse 32. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Verse 33, the tribe of Naphtali. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute to them. And the Amorite forced the children of the tribe of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Hir, in Ajalon, and in Shablon. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became greater, they were put under tribute. Now the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akarbin, from Selah and upward. So there in chapter 2, we see the problem. They were not able to drive out the inhabitants out. We live in a world where we cannot drive out our co-employees out. We live in a neighborhood where we cannot kick the non-Christians out. We live in a society where you're driving in the freeway and you want to kick the non-Christian out of the freeway. You can't. You can't because they lived among us. So what do you do? What's the point? I don't know. Well, I do know. Continue to wear truth around your neck. There's a reason why Jesus said the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? What does he mean by that? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Why? What is the meaning of that? Because you're free from all the incoming data that's coming at you from every source of institution, family institution, political institution, university institution, medical health institution, academic institution, Hollywood institution, the media institution, the market institution, all of them have been taken over with this ideology of a godless society. But there's still one institution they hate very much, because they don't know how to overcome that institution. You know what institution is that? The Church of Jesus Christ. Because they can't convince us. We call it for what it is, and the world doesn't like it. They want to be tolerant, but they're not tolerant. It's okay. It's okay. God, time, and truth. Amen? Let's partake of communion. And I do it. See, I thought everybody had communion. I was over here offering it, or in the second service. I said, please partake with me. I took the bread and everything. Nobody had the elements. And I was eating by myself. So, Mary, come on up, Mary. And as they pass the elements, I'm going to ask you what I asked the first service and the second service. A time of 30 seconds. Prayer, out loud prayer. It's a beautiful cacophony. People are praying, you know. It don't matter. Pray for your children. Pray for your marriage. Or pray for a lack of marriage. Pray for a job. Pray for your business. Pray for grandma. Pray for grandpa. Pray for your parents. Pray for your own self. Whatever goal you want to have. You want to be married? You want to get a hookup? Look, do not look for a Samson. Do not look for a Samson. Ask God to give you what God wants to give you. Same thing with you guys. May the Lord give you what you want. There's nothing wrong. People are single, they get embarrassed. I said, would you like me to pray for a wife? Oh, no. Okay. Okay. So, Mary, take it, participate, and let's worship the Lord, and we'll take it together. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Pancho Juarez. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Pancho's teaching ministry by visiting thearcmontebello.com.